This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
And I've already moved on. I've started watching tape. I'm immersed in college and pro scouting right now and talking about contracts and negotiations and different things. And that's one, I think for me, that's one of the blessings of my job is it's very seasonal. And I'm in now one of my most favorite seasons, which is the off season, which is not, it's a misnomer because it's my busiest time of the year. But I love being a part of the solution, and that's what we'll be.
So that was Eric DaCosta talking at the end of year press conference about he loves the off season and moves to be made. And of course, they signed Chidobe Awuzie to a 1-year deal yesterday. So moves happen periodically throughout the offseason. One of the moves that we feel still could happen is a Mark Andrews trade, and that might be closer to draft day now because they did pick up the $4 million roster bonus. So who else on this roster could possibly be dealt as we sit here heading up to the draft, which is now a month away?
I came up with five names. I don't know that, you know, I would dub any of them exceedingly likely, but they're names that I think could come up in conversation as teams, not quite now, still a month away from the draft, but once we get within 10 days of the draft, there a lot of chatter picks up, and then obviously teams are talking all through draft weekend. We've talked about Linderbaum on this show. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll trade him,
no. But
I don't think they should be averse to trading him because of some of what they face with how much that fifth-year option is going to be, with how they viewed centers as being largely interchangeable throughout decades of highly competitive football. And given the price points, they're going to have some young receivers who need to be fed financially for the first time in a long time. They've got young tight ends, at least one for sure, who needs to be fed. And the quarterback needs another deal, and Kyle Hamilton needs a deal from that same draft class. So I think it's worth monitoring. Along those lines, Oweh, what if they end up drafting four front seven guys in their first six or seven picks?
That, to me, was the guy that jumped out to me more than anyone else, and I'm not necessarily willing to go there. Linderbaum, I'd say, is more in jeopardy next year when it would be on the fifth-year option, where this year he's not making any money. Oweh is interesting because he's got the $13 million fifth-year option. And we've seen pass rushers, what they're getting, and I'm not saying that he's the caliber of Myles Garrett or any of those guys, but having the double-digit sack year carries value with teams. We haven't seen the Ravens invest in the deep end of pass rush for a long time now. I think we're all skeptical that they would pay Owe. Do you?
I don't think he's getting
that?
A second contract yet.
No, I don't think so either. So do you get ahead of that and deal him? But you don't really have a ton there at edge.
You don't. But I think I also continue to get. I was thinking about this in the shower today.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Shower thoughts.
That's your brand. Shower thinking. Like Perry Farrell. Mm. I think they're completely committed to manufacturing pass rush and putting heavy assets into the secondary.
Yes.
Financially and draft wise. Like, had a long talk with Bobby D, who knows this D tackles in this draft inside and out. I talked to somebody else who evaluates for another NFL team. I'm becoming convinced that they're going to wait even till the third, fourth, fifth round on some of these D tackles who they think will start for them right away. Like, I could see him taking a safety with the first pick. Yeah. I could see him taking a corner with the first pick. Like, I think they're going that way. And I think they, I mean, you're going to find guys who had more production in college than Owe in the second and third round of this draft. You just are.
Well, he didn't have much.
Exactly.
Yeah. He didn't have a sack his final
year. They took him in the first round. Yeah. And because of it, you got the fifth year option thing coming up.
Yeah.
So, like, I could see him, and you know, I put a Jabo in the same bin.
Yeah, well,
you're
different. A 2026 pick?
Yeah, you can get a 2026 6th-round pick. You might do that.
Maybe you get more if he actually plays. You make a trade where the more he plays, the more he does, the more you get.
Speaking of that whole thing, and we had the Daniel Jeremiah quote we mentioned a couple weeks ago, that 12 starter grades a year ago, 24 this year on the defensive line. I'm not saying they're going to trade this guy, but that's why I put Travis Jones in this conversation. Like,
well, I put Brody there.
Crossed my mind.
But Brody, yeah. But Travis Jones, probably you flip him for a 4 or something, and then you go get yourself the guy that you think could be a starter for you, as you said.
Or you trade him after the draft, whatever. I mean, again, they're going to be thinking a year ahead.
Mm.
And if you just use the, like, let's say they use all 11 of these picks.
Yeah, which they like to do.
And I'm sure they have contingencies where they do that built into different models. Then you want to start getting ahead of 2026. And they might not get as many comp picks next year because they didn't lose the kind of guys they lost a year ago. Owe, Ajabo, Linderbaum, Brody. You could go Brody / Travis Jones. And then I threw Jalen Armour Davis in there too. Like,
What do you get for him though?
But he's a guy that you could trade. Like, the assignment was who were tradable guys. If you get a 2026 7th round pick for him.
They traded Caillou Blue Kelly for
they
what?
They did.
They got something for
him.
They
did.
Nobody remembers what the hell it is. Nobody remembers where the hell Caillou Blue Kelly is now. But when they're always drafting corners, that kind of means you're always trading corners.
They also traded that Ohio State corner that they took in the draft a few years ago.
They traded him right before.
Yeah. What was Sean Wade? Thank you, Ben. Sean Wade. They traded him right before the start of the season. So they are not adverse to doing those kind of things.
No, they're always kind of churning that position group. So I just think them trading some young corner, especially if they take one in the first round or second round and then take another depth one or sign a priority free agent.
Blue Kelly.
They really like – they traded him.
I know. It reminded me we did like some six-pack of bold predictions, and I had him like being like the starting slot corner or something. And he didn't make
Owe to me in terms of value and getting ahead of it and also cap and cash saved stuck out the most.
I got him number one.
Yeah.
You see that? You can read my chicken scratch?
I can somewhat make that up. Yeah. I see the O and the H.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I think at best always playing his this is the fifth year. When he tweeted out the peace sign a few weeks ago, that was around the combine. I think his agent had a conversation with the Ravens and he did not like what he heard, Jason.
They gave it a shot.
Yeah.
I didn't love it in real time. Hasn't really worked out.
Well, I wouldn't say it was
decent.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's a miss.
He's a good player. He's just not a transcendent player. Yeah. Double-digit sacks.
They got him. They didn't want to pay Judon.
Mm-mm.
He has not been as good as Judon
he's not been Judon.
But I'm just saying, we're going back to where Judon was when he left here.
Yeah.
Remember, we're talking about the difference between winning 12 games and going out in the first round or winning a Super Bowl. So I'm just saying, you had a guy who fit here. Who could get you in a good year, 12, 14 sacks, and did a lot of other stuff for you, and you let him walk for less on average than you could have paid to keep him on another franchise tag, and you lost a left tackle, and you got draft picks, and you used it on this guy.
Yes.
Who's not a pass rusher.
Yeah, he got 10 sacks.
He's not a pass rusher.
But he finds his way into some.
He was, what, 30th overall, though? Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a miss.
It earns you the fifth-year option.
I mean, I don't think he's not getting. Dude, we don't want him here for a second contract. When you draft a kid in the first round and it's a primary need, and you're saying the analytics tell you he's better than his production, even though he couldn't beat right tackles in the Big Ten, and we're here sitting here now saying, boy, I'd love to trade him before you have to pay him that money. I'm not going to. What do you want me to say?
We'll get back to that in a little bit.
And all we keep talking about is we still think if they want to win a Super Bowl, they need actual pass rushers, not guys who, within the context of a scheme, can run into three sacks in a weekend against a garbage tackle and end up with nine at the end of the year.
I also, and I don't want to get too far off the clock.
Nobody's worried about scheming up anything to stop Owe. Ever.
They also need to catch the football if they want to win a Super Bowl.
Or create a turnover and some sacks in a playoff game.
Northern Exposure coming up next. And what about the rest of the division, and what are their needs as we are now full through free agency, and did these teams fill their needs? The Steelers, Browns, and Bengals we discuss next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, ideally we'd like to keep one of the guys that we had with us last year, but until we don't have anyone under contract, so until that happens, you know, all options are on the table. Yeah, I mean, there were good things from both of them. Glad to have had both of them with us. You know, it was a good experience, and great, both of them really great people. But the reality is we ended the season with five straight losses, and that's not good enough. That's unacceptable. And, you know, and from top to bottom organizationally, we have to be better.
Omar Khan, the GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the combine at the time, he's like, ideally, we'd like to keep one of the guys.
Well,
their owner
came out earlier than that and said, one of these two are going to be our quarterback next year.
Well, Justin Fields is now on the Jets, and Russell Wilson is on the Giants. And for the second straight year, the Steelers are completely resetting their quarterback room. And let's face it, they haven't figured out the quarterback position. They hung on to Ben too long. Yep. It's been a revolving door since, and it hasn't been good for a long time.
No, it hasn't. And look, I don't think Jackson Dart is going to be there for them. So like, if they want Jackson Dart, I think you'd have to move up to do it. And I don't know that that's where they are. And they just kind of tried it with the third, you know, with a sort of second tier guy in the first round and Pickett. And I know that wasn't Omar, right? That was Kevin's last stand there, but I don't know if that's the way they go.
Is it Rodgers?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is out there, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any options. Like, so if Aaron, I'll tell you this. If it's Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be at their price. Yeah. Like, he's not going to bully anybody into getting anything more than what's out there for him. You know, there is still the possibility of a Kirk Cousins trade, or again, do you try to trade for a developmental guy like a Malik Willis or something like that? I know there's some teams that think pretty highly of the backup in New England, Milton. Does that really solve it? Does any of this solve it? The reality is none of this solves it.
Do you think there's a possibility that Tyler Shaw, the kid from Louisville, or Jalen Milrow from Alabama?
They don't solve it. They might solve it 2 years from now. They don't solve it this year. Now, could they take one of those kids on the second day? They could. I would be floored if any more than three quarterbacks go in the first round here. And I think even Dart is a stretch, but it's going to happen. I'm thoroughly convinced it's going to happen. And I think it could happen in the top 10, to be honest with you. I think three could go in the top 10. Like, the Jets could take one. I think the Saints are laying there at nine, could take one. Obviously, Cam Ward is going one now. Yeah. And, Sanders, I don't think it's out of the question that the Browns take him. I don't think the Giants are taking him, and I've been saying that since before they filled their room with Jameis and
Russell Wilson.
Russ. Just don't think that owner, like a kid with that personality, with Prime as his dad, I just don't think that's the owner's style. Now, maybe they take him. But regardless, he's only going to drop but so far. And, I mean, the Raiders could drop back and take one. I mean, the Raiders could still take one. That they haven't formally announced that Geno thing. Like, that still hasn't been, like,
wow,
totally formalized. Yeah. Anyway, the extension and the rework contract and all that.
That's
like,
weird.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Bengals and an oldie but a goodie, Joe Burrow, talking about how, you know, he could manipulate his contract to help them do other things.
You could convert some of the money to a signing bonus, okay, which will lower the cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
You can push some of the money to the back end of the contract,
mm-hmm,
and then when you get to the, that lowers the cap hit, and then when you get to the back end of the contract, you can restructure it and convert it to a signing bonus.
Okay.
You can also just take less money. The Eagles are paying everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that seems like the way, whatever they're doing.
So that was capologist and quarterback Joe Burrow. I think that was on Pardon My Take, talking about what you can do with the cap. Now, the Bengals, to their, I guess, credit, they brought back both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. There are reports that they're close to a Trey Hendrickson deal. But even if they do all those things, they're the exact same team they were a year ago that missed the playoffs, and now they're over-leveraged on the guys they already had, so their needs, defense, are now that much bigger. And offensive line.
Yeah, I color me a skeptic. This all would have been great to do, you know, 18 to 20 months ago. And you'd have these guys at a much more malleable price point, and you'd probably be better equipped to truly keep this window extended. I you know, better late than never, I guess. I get it. And if they do keep Hendrickson too, more power to him. There's still a lot of holes on that defense. A lot of holes on that defense and offensive line, for that matter. You can fill a defense in this draft, no doubt about it, but it's not a great offensive line draft, and there's nothing out there on the street that's going to make a difference for them, and they really don't make trades. So, yeah, I'll be really interested to see what the finished product looks like and what their 53 look like and how we size that defense up come September.
There's obviously a long way to go before week one. We haven't even hit the draft, but none of the other three teams are better than
no,
the last time
and the
they
Browns
played football.
Need a quarterback, no, too.
Pittsburgh's worse.
Yes.
I don't think you can argue that.
Well, I feel like Hayward, like, drained the tank, had a fantastic year. Like, how much longer can he do that?
Well, the defense was terrible down the stretch. It wasn't just Russ.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals are trying to tread water. The Browns, I keeping Garrett is probably the best thing they did, but they've mm-hmm. got holes all over. Two of the teams badly need a quarterback. I would think the Browns take Abdul Carter, but like I wouldn't completely rule out Shedeur Sanders.
Interesting. Well, the draft is a month away. Coming up next, though, best bets. March Madness Sweet 16 starts tomorrow. Terps play Florida, 7:30 tip, 6:30 pregame right here on 105.7 The Fan. Where's Tim Murray putting his money? He's from VEASAN. He joins us next here on The Fan.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it's a Wednesday. Time for our best
Bone
bets with our buddy, yeah, no. Tim Murray. He's got some odd
Bone's talking
snack
nonsense
takes,
during these
but
breaks,
we'll get to that a little bit later. But IA Hall of Famer Tim Murray joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. He's, of course, from VEASAN. And, Tim, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Let's get right into the Sweet 16 and start with the Maryland Terrapins. I'm looking at right now, according to a particular book, they're a 6.5-point dog against Florida. Do you have a lean in this one?
Yeah, we'll just start with the kind of the point spread and where we're at. You know, this got as high as 7. I was texting with an odds maker today, and he told me game opened 6, got as high as 7, and then some sharp play came in on Maryland plus the 7. If you look at some of the betting splits that are over there, one of the most lopsided games of the week right now is this game. Everybody's going to be on Florida. 73% of bets at DraftKings right now on the Gators, -6.5, 84% of the handle. The only game that currently, based off of the betting splits that we've got over at VSiN.com, that has more money on it on one particular side is Michigan State. They've got 85% of the handle. Look, I think I'm sure you guys have discussed it at length. The concern that I have is the depth, mm-hmm. obviously. That could be the issue, but hey, man, if we're going mano-a-mano, you know, your five versus my five, I'll take Maryland, you know, especially catching 6.5, 7 any day of the week. So, you know, you're certainly concerned about the depth being the issue. Florida is a very deep team. But I think this is a bit of a spot where, you know, I think Florida might be getting a little bit too much love. Look, coming into the tournament, they were the hottest team out there. Personally, I think from the way I like to bet guys, I kind of would have preferred them blow out UConn. So it's like, this Florida team's untouchable. Like, I thought UConn maybe laid the blueprint a little bit, but I like Maryland here. I bet them at 6.5. I don't know if it gets back to 7, but I'm on the Terps here. I think maybe first half could be a better way to go. That's what I bet on Sunday. I took UConn in the first half. They obviously covered both the full game and the first half. But right now you're looking at around 3.5 in the first half, 6.5 for the full game. I think this thing is competitive, man. I really do. Florida's the real deal, but so is Maryland. And I'm not going to let a close call against one of, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on with you guys. Look, Colorado State was one of the hottest teams in college basketball entering that game. The metrics proved it out, right? Over the last like month and a half, they were a top 15 team in the country. They hit a big jumper late in that game, a terrifically drawn-out play. By the way, I'll just say this. I know there's a lot of worry about the coaching situation with the Terps.
Yeah.
The Big Ten got a lot better from a coaching standpoint this week. Nico Medved is awesome, and he's now at Minnesota, and Ben McCollum's now at Iowa. So I think both those teams massively upgraded their coaching situation.
Tim, I'm a little surprised that this Duke line hasn't moved. I grabbed it at 8.5. It quickly moved to 9.5, and it stayed there. I thought it would get to double digits. The Dukies have covered 10 of their last 12. The only time they didn't was the Georgia Tech game that Flag got hurt in, and then the UNC game he didn't play in, and they still had a 26-point lead at one point in that game. 17 of their last 21 wins are by double digits. And when I look at teams like them, and well, how do they lose to a lesser team? Well, they turn the ball over and they hand possessions away, right? Duke's fourth in the country in assist to turnover ratio. Arizona's 51st. Do you like the Dukies here? Are you with me? Are you surprised that this is not a double digit game?
I'm not surprised it's not a double digit game because Baylor Duke went off at like 12.5, and you know, Arizona, I would deem them better than Baylor. So I think 3-point difference, maybe a little bit of an upgrade for the Duke Blue Devils. Look, I'll start with this. I think Duke's the best team in the country right now. Mm-hmm. Are they going to win the national championship? That was my pre-tournament prediction. Anything can happen. Look, Arizona, from an athletic standpoint, can go toe-to-toe with the Duke Blue Devils. I believe that. Now, will they? I don't necessarily. I'm not getting there. I have laid chalk a little bit in this round, and obviously chalk has been coming home at a decent rate so far in this tournament. I have not touched this game. You know, maybe it's one where I look at, does Arizona hit a spurt and we can grab Duke at an in-game price? I think the curiosity and the X factor in this one is Caleb Love. Like, what a fascinating story this could be. This is the guy that just went absolutely nuclear in the Final Four game when UNC ended Coach K's career, and now here he is, and he's playing Duke again with a chance to knock off, you know, the best freshman we've seen in I don't know how long. I mean, so there's some intrigue there. Look, I've been critical of Tommy Lloyd over the years, and I think he's deserved it, but I got to give him credit. I thought he was masterful at the end of the Oregon game. I thought they were perfect, fouling up three, never really giving Oregon a chance to, you know, cut that game and give him a chance to tie that game up. So I thought he did a really nice job there. So if I had to bet it, JLC, I would be on your side here. I have not bet it yet. We'll see how this market goes, but I would guess if it did tick any which way, maybe it ticks down just a little bit with folks trying to, you know, be a little cute and grab the points here. But yeah, one of the games that I have not personally bet for this Sweet 16.
Tim, I'm going to say this using air quotes. Are you riding with this year's Cinderella, Arkansas?
Hashtag not my Cinderella.
Do you like them to cover against Texas Tech?
I don't, Tim. I love this Texas Tech team. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a particular spot where maybe people are trying to play up, this is a Cinderella team. Look, they're not. Coach Cal is one of the highest paid coaches in college basketball. They have one of the most expensive rosters in college basketball. They're coming together at the right time. I liked them against St. John's. I do not like them here against Texas Tech. 63% of bets, by the way, on Arkansas at DraftKings. So the public right now is interested in the underdog here. I don't think they know a ton about Texas Tech. I think they're probably questioning Texas Tech. Their road has been, let's be honest, you beat UNC Wilmington in a game in which you were trailing in the second half, and then you beat a Drake team that was good but undersized. You know, one thing I'm really fascinated to see about is Texas Tech and the health. They are continuing to miss Chase McMillan. He did not play in the first two rounds. If he's out there, this dude is a elite shooter, 43% from long range. JT Toppin was an absolute force against Drake. He was an absolute beast. Look, Arkansas is legit. Adu Thiro should be back, which is huge for them. He's their leading scorer. Boogie Fland was playing in the first couple of rounds. So this Arkansas team is not your normal 10 seed. And to your point, Tim, they are not, as you put up the air quotes, they're not a Cinderella story, right? This is a very expensive roster that they put together, and now they're seeming to come together. I mean, you've got Trevon Brazil, the transfer from, or who's been at Arkansas for a while, playing very well. They've got Jonas Adu, the transfer from Tennessee, seeming to play well. They seem to be coming together at the right time. I just personally think you're getting Texas Tech a little bit on sale here. This was my pre-tournament prediction to win this region was the Red Raiders. I think they win, and I think they are able to separate themselves a little bit towards the end. So they are not they are not going to face a team like St. John's, who we knew all along their Achilles heel was shooting. That's not Texas Tech's problem. Texas Tech is elite offensively, fifth best offense in the country. That's what St. John's, we knew that they had their struggles offensively, and it reared its ugly head. I think the Red Raiders are guns up to the Elite Eight, hopefully to face the Terps.
Talking with Tim Murray, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. Before we let you go, Tim, we talked about the Maryland game, the Duke game, the Tech game. There's five other games. What is your best bet left?
Oh, man. I guess I would go Houston. They're an 8-point favorite. And once again, if you guys have been listening to me long enough, you know, I don't like to lay chalk, but I personally think the Purdue is playing a home game discussion is getting played up a little bit too much. This game's gonna be played at a football stadium, right? Like that, that I think, I don't want to say fully negates it, but I think it plays into it a little bit. And, you know, I just mentioned Texas Tech, and I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth, right? Texas Tech's road to the Sweet 16 wasn't all that daunting, and yet I'm still riding with the Red Raiders. Purdue's road to the Sweet 16, let's be honest.
Cakewalk.
High Point rigged. And McNeese, okay? Rigged. And here they are. They're taking on Houston, who got the worst draw out of any one seed. They had to face the analytical darling, the Gonzaga Bulldogs, in the second round. And, oh, by the way, you know, this is a Houston team that we've seen bow out in recent years, whether it was last year losing Jamal Shedd in the Sweet 16 against Duke, or a couple years ago when they scored like 44 points against Villanova. That ain't this Houston team, man. This is a Houston team that can fill it up from outside. They've got guard play all over the place. I think this is a strong performance from the Houston Cougars. I think they drag Purdue a little bit into the mud. I don't know if Purdue is ready for this type of physicality. So I laid it, man. I laid it with Houston here. I would also look a little bit towards the under, 132 and a half there too. So that would probably be my Friday play, would be to look at Houston, a little bit on them and a little bit on the under as well.
Tim Murray, let the people know what's going on at VSiN.
Yeah, catch me tonight. We're going to be going through all of our Sweet 16 plays. We got a little contest going on. I need to make up some ground. I'm currently in second amongst 15 handicappers. So we got some work to do. I am 6 points out of first place, though. The Paul Stone is the pro bettor who's been on fire so far in the NCAA tournament. So check us out 7 o'clock tonight, and then Saturday and Sunday talking Elite Eight at 10 a.m. with the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Tim Murray, thanks buddy. We'll chat next week.
All right, boys, enjoy the game. Good luck to the Terps.
Thank you, sir.
Coming up next is T-Bone time, TMI with TIM. What you got?
We always talk every single year, spring training stats, take it all with a grain of salt. Well, on the other side, we're going to play a little game. Real or fake? based on the spring training stats. That's next on the.
Yes, it's T-Bone time.
I
TMI
like
with
better.
TIM, and the floor is yours.
For the record.
Spring training, it's done, and in less than 24 hours, it gets real for the Orioles and, I guess, 27 of the other teams, because obviously the Dodgers and Cubs have started their
season.
It's
not getting real for the White Sox this year, Bo.
Well,
I think it is decidedly fake for the White Sox.
The standings are real. The
They might have probably had a better pitching staff last year, at least until the deadline.
We know that spring training stats are not real.
Fool's gold.
But is there anything we can read into from this spring training? We're going to play a game of real or fake during TMI. Adley Rutschman, first half of 2024, really, really good. Second half, really, really bad.
Yeah.
This spring training, really, really good again, Jason. Real or fake, Adley Rutschman is going to get back to being Adley Rutschman again after an OPS of over 1,000. I'm saying it's real. I think we're going to see 2023 Adley Rutschman.
Bone, I don't want to get too specific here because we have a six-pack coming up at the top of the hour.
Yeah, maybe I am.
And it's going to have... I'm going to be... That's what I'm saying. But as a tease,
yeah,
I'll put it to you this way. I don't think the spring production was plastic. I don't think it was fake.
Oh.
I think it was God-given. I think it was natural.
That's good.
I think it was they're real and they're spectacular. Is that what it was?
Yes.
That's fantastic, spectacular.
Real and spectacular.
Yeah, I'm buying.
Jackson Holliday.
So wait, he doesn't have to answer?
Go.
Thanks, Bone.
Sorry.
You don't even know how to play your own game.
Yeah. I don't.
This new music has thrown everybody off. It's the new intro. It's messed everybody up.
We'll
get used to it.
It also factors in my six-pack, and I believe as well.
Jackson Holliday. Coming off another strong spring, and hey, his spring last year proved to be
fake. It was great.
Well, it proved to be fake in terms of
who knows? If they would have actually kept him on the team, he might have got off to a good start.
Jackson
Tony
Holliday,
Kemp.
I think it's real. I think we're going to see a much better Jackson Holliday in year two. Like we've been talking about, the on-base percentage. He has 5 stolen bases in the spring. I think he's going to be running a lot as well. I think that is real.
This also factors in my six-pack.
It's a tease.
And I think it's real as well.
And spectacular.
Can you be more specific about what's real about it?
I'm just saying he's going to.
I think he's going to hit, and I think he's going to run.
Yeah, he's going to take a step. He's going to take a big step.
He'll be better than last year.
Well, that's a low bar, but
yeah.
Are we factoring in the field? Are we factoring in defense into this?
Not in my six pack. No.
No, I'm talking to him about this
overall,
right here.
Overall, everything as a player.
I'm going to say one real, one fake.
No, oh, wow.
Okay.
Half and
that's
half.
Interesting.
He had
half
a mastectomy
half,
or something.
Little Frankenstein-y.
Yeah.
A little bit of plastic.
Yeah. Yep.
Cedric Mullins. We know how he finished the year last year.
Yes.
Really, really good. He got off to a bad start.
Yeah, Barry.
He did not have
a rough spring.
He did not have a good spring training. 6-44. That is a 136 if you don't have a calculator. 409 OPS.
Yeah.
Cedric Mullins will get off to another slow start.
No, I think Cedric will be fine.
He's a Cedric truther.
Cedric will appear in my six-pack.
Yeah.
Oh. I could see him getting off to another slow start with all of this.
I am hopeful.
I do love Cedric, and I think that he will get it going, but
I think he'll
clearly
be fine.
The leadoff thing is off the table.
That's not happening.
No.
Heston Kerstad.
He factors in my six-pack, bro.
Didn't have a fantastic spring by any stretch. Struck out quite a few times. 672 OPS. Real or fake, he'll get off to a slow start, or he's buried on the bench again.
I don't think he's going to have a rip-roaring start.
So you're saying fake?
I'm
saying the some of the strikeout struggles are real.
Yeah,
okay. I'm saying power is real, Bum. Real power.
We were talking about Tomoyuki Sugano earlier. He had a 3-flat ERA, and all of that was from the last start. Charlie Morton, 3.38 ERA. Slim, 3.07 ERA. Real or fake? The starting rotation.
You think the starting rotation is going to have a 3 ERA for the season?
That's not what I'm saying. You didn't let me ask the question.
Yeah, Jason, let him finish.
Yeah.
These questions have been kind of vague.
The starting rotation will outperform expectations of them.
I think it is what it is. Very middling.
I think Cade Povich, he factors into my six-pack bone. Yeah.
Touching so a lot of the
six. I think some real, some fake.
And then lastly, Felix Bautista, very much up and down. Sir Anthony Dominguez just down.
Yes.
This spring. Real or fake, back end of the bullpen will be a problem.
I think it will start fake, but Felix will eventually be real. But it's going to take time.
I'm with you on that, Ken.
I don't know about Dominguez and Soto. But.
Yeah. The GM will be scurrying for even more bullpen arms this year than he was last year.
And he scurried last year.
He scurried down the wrong holes. Yeah,
well, he was scurrying. Hey, speaking of that, and Bone leads us right into it, six-pack time. Well, we did move some things around. It wasn't originally that way.
Really, but Kevin Harlan's fault.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. One of my favorite announcers.
Kevin Harlan. Yeah. Check him out on the Odyssey app. It was a great interview. Yes. He had some really interesting things to say about Kevin Willard's contract situation.
It was at 2:30, by the way.
Yes, it was.
It was at 2:30.
Yeah.
But if you go to the Odyssey app, it's going to be labeled. It's going to pop right up because Ben does a great job with that.
Does an amazing job.
Six-pack of Orioles bowl predictions next here on The Fan.